From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Abravanel Hall in Salt Lake City, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to be back here in Salt Lake City. What a pleasure. It was the site of our very first show in front of a live audience back in 2000. Yes, and we got back then this huge, enthusiastic response. So we were encouraged by that to start touring around the country. Well, it took us 12 years to figure out that no other place in this country is quite as forgiving as Salt Lake City. So we've decided to come back once more to enjoy your low, low standards. Listeners, you can take advantage of their kindness as well. Give us a call. The number's 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Karen Stein from North Hollywood, California.
Oh, I know North Hollywood well. I used to spend some time there. What do you do?
I'm a makeup artist, and I teach makeup.
Oh, you do? Do you like entertainment industry makeup, like horrible scars?
Yeah, I do mostly special effects.
Oh, so, really?
You know, blood and gut and stuff like that.
Can I ask the creepiest thing you've ever done to somebody?
I had to paint a naked zombie once.
Wow.
That actually sounds kind of fun.
It would have been fun if they weren't all over 50.
Oh. Isn't it always true? The zombies you see naked are never the zombies you want to see naked.
No, David Beckham zombies.
Well, welcome to our show, Karen. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a veteran of the Colbert Report and one of those two guys from the Sonic ads. It's Mr. Peter Gross is here.
Hi.
Next, it is the interim editor of the San Antonio Express News, Ms. Kiri O'Connor. Finally, a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and the host of the new show, My Grandmother's Ravioli, airing on the Cooking Channel this Sunday, February 19th, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Karen.
Karen, welcome to our show. You're going to play Who's Carol this time. Carol Castle, of course, will recreate for you from the news three quotations. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, and you will win our prize. Carol's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Now, your first quote was a sign this week seen at a Long John Silver's restaurant in Muscatine, Iowa.
Welcome back to Muscatine, Xi Jinping. Original menu available. Fish sandwiches, 2 for $3.
Who is Xi Jinping, who was enjoying such a good deal in Muscatine this week?
I don't know.
Well, he's a very important person visiting the United States.
Kim Jong-un? I don't know.
No. You're close, actually, geographically.
Yeah.
Oh, go up and to the left
a little north.
China,
yes. He's the next president of China. That's
China,
right.
That's who he is.
Yes, you said China. You get it. Mr. Xi is the vice president of China, soon to be president. It was a big deal when he came to visit. It's like, you know, when the new owner of a sports team visits the locker room. Mr. Xi insisted on visiting Muscatine, Iowa during his visit. We assume it's because he got a Groupon for the Muscatine KFC. No, actually, it's because, and this is true, 25 years ago, he came there on an exchange program, and now that he's incredibly powerful, about to take over, the largest nation on Earth in terms of population, he wanted to go back and extract a horrible vengeance on everyone there who had mistreated him.
I was hoping it would be a more charming reason, like the only thing he knew about America was the movie The Music Man. Something like that.
Yes. Come here, sing to me like you do. No, he
76,000 trombones.
Yes, they can do that.
Will play for me.
No, he was very nice. He wanted to thank the people of Muscatine who were nice to him back when. They're very excited to have him there. They're hoping that his visit helps the Muscatine economy, perhaps by him packing the place up and bringing it with him back to China.
Is Muscatine a scent?
It's the smell of teen.
Yeah, musky teen.
The smell. It's what teenagers smell like.
That's
hormones and their first beer. I like, though, that, like, because he's the vice president of China, essentially, right? Do you, what would it take for us to send Joe Biden to China? There's no way we would send him, like, by himself to China.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's like, dear America, I'm staying in China.
Yeah, in fact, before he went to Iowa, Mr. Xi attended a lunch hosted by Biden, who used his toast. This is true. He used his toast at the luncheon to run through criticisms of the Chinese regime. This is what he did. This is true. You know, it's like, oh, the human rights record and the trade policies. And that was better than his first draft, which was like, you know, it was like, hey, it's great to finally meet Xi Jinping. I mean, he's so fat, it takes 6 9-year-olds to make his sweaters. Am I right?
Is he fat?
No, but...
It's Biden.
Biden.
Oh, right.
Doesn't Biden know that you attack your guest's civil liberties record during the dessert course?
Absolutely. Right, came back. All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
Killing is my business, and business is good.
That, as I'm sure you all know, is a classic song by the band Megadeth. Well, the lead singer and founder of Megadeth just endorsed a presidential candidate this week, a surprising one for a guy who praises Satan in his songs. Who did he endorse?
Rick Santorum.
Yes, he did. Got the Megadeth, won the Megadeth caucus. Dave Mustaine is the lead singer and songwriter for Megadeth, the heavy metal rock band. He came out and said this week that he hoped first a Republican would win the White House and that he hoped it would be Rick Santorum. He also announced that he would be changing the band's image to reflect Santorum's values. Their hit song, Prince of Darkness, will be remixed as Shame on You, Prince of Darkness. Actually, and this is true, what happened was after this hit the news, he backed down. He walked it back. He said, quote, I never used the word endorse, unquote. Because you can found a band called Megadeth and praise Satan in your heavy metal music, but endorsing Rick Santorum is just going a little bit too far.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's a businessman, right? You said killing is his business.
Yes.
Maybe is it that Rick Santorum is in favor of tax cuts for all of those who run a killing business? Or?
So did Mitt Romney come out and be like, I also like Megadeth. I want their thing too. I've liked Megadeth for years.
I just imagine Mitt Romney going, so they're headbangers. You actually have to bang your head? Okay. How long do I have to do this?
Yeah. Fortunately, my skull is made out of adamantine and not bone, so... My hair is stopping my skull from feeling anything.
All right, here is your last quote.
Linsanity. Linconceivable. Lin Fuego. Lin Glorious Bastard.
Those were some of the terms used this week to describe the NBA's new breakout star, who?
Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin, yes. It is amazing. And really kind of heartwarming that finally a kid from Harvard finally got some recognition in this country. Jeremy Lin went undrafted by the NBA. He got cut by two teams before landing on the bench with the New York Knicks. And finally, he got his chance with the team starters either away or mysteriously tripped by old Harvard sweatshirts tied around their ankles. He got a chance to start, tore it up, became a national sensation, leading to the worst puns heard in sports reporting since the debut of Bobby Really Good Player back in the 50s. So we heard Lindarella's story, Lincredible. He plays the Linside game with rare Lintelligence and Linate ability until he scores the game-winning shot. Things got a little carried away. People took it a little too far. By the end of the week, there were doctors telling their patients that, you know, I'm sorry, your tumor is linoperable. The CIA insisted it wasn't torture. It was enhanced linterrogation.
What would that be, just shooting basketballs in someone's face?
Carl, how did Karen do in our quiz?
Karen, you had a perfect game, 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Peter, this week NPR News unleashed its powerful investigative reporters on a scandal in the media. What was it?
I don't know. About me needing a hint to answer this question?
Yeah. Well, for example, they're pretty sure Lady Mary should not have described the flower show as totally rad.
I don't watch Downton Abbey, but is it Downton Abbey?
It was Downton Abbey. Specifically, it's the anachronisms in Downton Abbey, because the show is known for its attention to historical detail. But linguist Ben Zimmer, interviewed on Morning Edition, pointed out the characters use phrases that came about after the 19-teens setting. For example, I'm just saying, step on it. Nobody said step on it back then. And the Dowager Countess's reference to Linsanity.
I love this. This is NPR beating up PBS. It's nerd on nerd violence.
Yes. You know what they're doing? They're beating them up with, they're taking their tote bags out and smashing them. Smashing back with their coffee mugs. Yeah.
It was one of the most egregious anachronisms on the show is when World War I starts and Lady Mary says, World War I just started.
Did she just say no?
And she says this will be the war to end all wars.
Oh right, that's very funny. She wouldn't have known it was World War I. Sorry, it took me a while. I didn't.
Mo Rocca, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Mark from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Mark, how are you in Portland?
Oh, it's a beautiful sunny day here.
That's great. It's a beautiful town, Portland. What do you do there?
I work for the post office.
That's a beautiful thing to do. Everything's beautiful in Portland. I don't care what it is.
Can I ask you a question? What? Portland is so laid back. What time does the mail get delivered?
When it gets there.
Absolutely. Mark, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Mark's topic?
Till death or the spinning buzzsaw do us part.
Here's the problem with weddings. No matter how inventive you are, everybody knows how they're going to end. Well, not anymore. This week we heard about a wedding day thrill so exciting it'll make your guests actually happy they came. Each of our panelists are going to try to spice up your nuptials. Only one of them is offering something, though, you can actually arrange for your wedding. Guess that real wedding feature, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
Yep.
Let's hear first from Peter Gross.
A common complaint from the bride and the groom on their wedding day is that everything goes by so fast. But if you're an adventurous couple for whom things can't move fast enough, you can hire speed ceremonies. For $10,000, the Los Angeles-based wedding planners will put you and up to 40 guests on a specially refurbished L.A. City bus that will never drive slower than 50 miles an hour, echoing the plot of the 1994 film Speed. Add another $1,000 if you want a minister who looks exactly like Keanu Reeves, only better at delivering his lines. In order to recreate all the dizzying twists and turns taken by the bus in the film, every speed ceremony's wedding takes place on the tarmac of an old airport outside Austin, Texas, where the constantly swerving driver will literally rock your party all night long. Someone usually throws up, says company founder Matthew Craig, but when you think about it, that's not all that unusual for a wedding. What is unusual for a wedding is the real bomb that gets placed under the bus and has to be defused by an explosives expert by the end of the night. Says Craig, sure, we could fake it and say there's a real bomb on board, but why ruin someone's special day?
Speed wedding, there's a bomb on this wedding. Your next wedding spectacular comes from Kiri O'Connor.
Jessica Silverman is just gaga over Gaga, so when she and Lauren Chan decided to get married, it was a foregone conclusion that the wedding would have a Lady Gaga theme. Lucky for her, Gaga for You of Stamford, Connecticut, offers a full suite of Gaga knockoff wedding products. But it was bad enough that Jessica referred to her guests only as little monsters. Worse, major grumbling, that she insisted the groomsmen wear sparkly golden boxer briefs and carry her in an egg case to the Rose Garden for the ceremony. The bridesmaids would have stormed out, but they could barely walk in their Alexander McQueen lobster claw heels, and they couldn't see at all through the red Dr. Seuss crown things pulled over their faces. But when Jessica emerged from the egg in a version of Gaga's signature meat dress, she couldn't have looked more serene. She was halfway down the aisle to the tune of Bad Romance, of course, when a dog walker happened to pass by. His two charges, both Great Danes, broke loose and headed for the meat dress. Jessica was unfazed. Gaga is all about performance art, so she'd be proud, she said later. The groom had another take. I know she hired those dogs.
A Lady Gaga wedding. And lastly, let's hear a story of a new wedding gimmick from Mo Rocca.
Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blew up. Does anybody actually like wedding cake? British cake designers Bompas and Parr don't think so. To make sure your reception is a smash, they'll send a trained explosives technician to implant your wedding cake with an IED. When the bride is ready to detonate it, your guests will be thrilled to be wearing the cake they now don't have to eat. Of course, some women guests may not want cake all over their clothes. Let's just say they may experience post-traumatic dress disorder.
All right. So let's say you wanted to get married, you wanted to do something special. You could do one of these things, from Peter Gross, have your wedding done on a bus to the theme of the movie Speed. From Kerry O'Connor, have a whole Lady Gaga-themed wedding, down to and including the meat dress. Or from Mo Rocca, have a wedding that ends with a bang with an exploding wedding cake.
Well, they all sound good.
Yes.
I was kind of leaning toward B.
Toward B. B would be the Lady Gaga wedding?
Yeah.
Is there something that appeals to you about a Lady Gaga wedding?
Okay, if you're going that way about it, how about C?
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. You're changing your choice to C, to Moe's story of the exploding wedding cake?
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. Your choice is Moe's story. Well, we spoke to the person who will provide you this service.
We decided to offer people an exploding cake service. If any of your guests come to that, they will whip them up to the top.
That was Sam Bompas. He's the co-owner of the London-based culinary firm Bompas and Parr and the purveyors of the exploding wedding cake. Well done, sir. You snaked it out. You got it right. You've won our prize as well as earning a point for Mo. But Carol will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now the game where we hand out prizes for doing something not particularly prize-worthy. It's been 10 years since the Salt Lake Winter Olympics, and this place remains a winter sports mecca, especially for speed skating. That's the one with skates, without stuffed animals. Two-time Olympian speed skater Nick Pearson came to Salt Lake to train and compete in the 2002 Olympics. He never left. We're excited he's here and that he's wearing his skin-tight suit. Nick Pearson, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So basically, most people only get interested in speed skating Olympics time, right? It's like
that's the problem with our sport. Yeah, once every 4 years, people realize, oh, there's speed skating out there, and they watch it.
Really?
And it seems to be some people's favorite sports during Olympics. So hopefully, we can somehow gain their interest.
Well, you could be like NASCAR and crash into each other. and tell me about. We have to ask about the suit.
Yeah.
Was that when you first saw like the skin-tight aerodynamic suits that you guys wear, were you like, oh, God, no, or finally, that's why I got into this?
It's part of the sport. It's nothing.
and they're very thin, right, because they're low weight, high, what's the word? You want less resistance to the wind as you go.
Correct.
And
use the word torque, Peter.
Torque.
Torque. Yeah, torque.
And when you wear them, everybody can see your torque, right?
I think that's right. I think that's right. Yeah. Perfect.
I remember reading in 1980 that Eric Heiden had thighs bigger than my waist. Like, how do you get your pants on?
Well, Eric Heiden, by the way, he's still one of our team doctors, and his thighs are still bigger than most of the speed skaters out there. So, he's a specimen.
That must hurt, though. After a while, when you're walking through the day, I mean, how do you? It's hard to walk.
It is. When you're training, it actually is hard to buy a normal pair of jeans. You got to go with the looser fit.
Do you just put on a different pair of jeans on each leg?
They wear the pants that like heavy people like used to, you know, like I lost all this weight and they hold that giant pair. That's what speed skaters like
is
just
there,
fit.
Is there a hierarchy of Olympic athletes? I mean, do you guys aware that who's cool and who's not? Like, I don't know who'd be the coolest or who'd be the least cool.
What about the luge people?
I would think that the
those
the,
losers.
What's the lowest status? Because I would think it'd be ski jumpers. All they do is fall.
I don't know if I can answer this one.
You can.
It's luge. It's like just driving a car, right?
Just hanging on.
Don't say biathletes.
Well, there's
Nick,
always curling.
Curling.
Yeah, curling.
Curling.
You're telling me, so the members of the curling team don't have a lot of use for the 10,000 condoms they give away.
I will say they probably drink more beer than everyone else there, though.
Well, yeah.
So.
What about the ice dancers? It's like, why not just be a figure skater?
They don't like to jump. I mean, we hear these stories about the Olympic Village that, like, they hand out, they have 10,000 condoms they give away, and they need more, and that you guys just have this bacchanal in there on the TV. Is this true?
Your wife just left, so go ahead.
They do hand out condoms. I remember in Vancouver, there's places where you can get them just sitting around. But
in Salt Lake, of course, I believe there were single-serving packets of Postum. You know what they say? When in Rome, you're nowhere near Salt Lake City. So. Don't behave that way.
Your wife is an athlete?
My wife was an Olympian in 2002 also.
Oh, geez. Are you guys going to make super-powered babies?
Well, our daughter is actually here today. She's only 11 months, though, so...
And she can already sprint.
No, I saw her. I saw this. There was a baby in the lobby who was lifting up a couple of the interns.
You said your wife was an Olympian?
Yes.
What sport?
Speed skating also.
Really?
Yeah.
So was it like one of those collisions of fate?
Oh, I love that.
We actually met when I think right around 10 years old. She's from Minnesota, from Wisconsin, different regional meets, and we knew each other for a long time.
Cool. So. Really?
Wow.
That's so romantic.
Oh, my God. You could...
At any point in your, I guess, many years together, did you ever race each other?
I mean, No? She's female, I'm male. Like.
Well, I understand that. I wasn't born yesterday, my friend. I know how this works. But really, I mean, you are married to an Olympian speed skater. You're an Olympian speed skater. I know some Olympic athletes that are extremely competitive people. They have to be. And you never once said, let's go out on the ice, honey, you and me, and see how it goes?
Not on the ice. Competitive, yes, though. I mean, there's a bunch of other things that we've been competitive at, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what? I mean, do you ever like pick events and you're like, and she's like, I'll pick bearing children. Beat me in that.
Well, I mean, just random little things, board games, going on a bike ride. Little things happen all the time. I mean, we're competitive by nature, I guess. So.
Right. Okay. It'd be funny if like you're sitting on a street somewhere in Park City and these two racing bikes go whipping by them and one of them has a little baby car in the back. What are you two doing?
That's how we make it even. I have to take the baby.
Right. She's sharpening her blades now. I got to ask, all your years around athletes, did you ever secretly try figure skating?
No.
Why?
I will say that when you're younger and you're on the, like, just goofing around, you, like, do little things and jump around a little
bit. You do a little, like, a
sal-cow.
I don't know if you're actually, like, wanting to be a figure skater, just kind of playing around.
Really?
Yeah.
And how'd it go?
Yeah, not so good.
Not so good?
Kind of hard when you got an 18-inch blade on your skate to do anything crazy.
Well, it's great to have you here. Nick, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Whoa, slow down there, friend.
So you go fast, dangerously fast. We're going to ask you about things that go very slow. Answer two out of three questions about three very slow things, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Nick Pearson playing for?
Nick is playing for Elizabeth Sharp of Park City, Utah.
All right. Here... is your first question. The arts can be slow, including which of these examples? A song by John Cage, which is currently playing and will last for 639 years. B, an experimental reworking of Romeo and Juliet, in which they die at the end of old age. Or C, a painting by the artist Kafo, which uses slow-drying paint so that viewers will be literally watching paint dry for centuries.
God, This is hard.
It is.
That's a hard one.
Well, you don't have to answer it, Mo.
I'm going to go see.
You're going to go see that people are going to watch paint dry for centuries?
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. It's actually A. It's the John Cage. So John Cage, of course, the famous experimental composer. This piece is called As Slow As Possible. And the first three notes last for a year and a half.
Oh, that is just silly.
Okay, your next question is a story about a daring but slow escape. By whom? Was it A, Lottie the tortoise, who escaped from her English home and was found a mile and a half away 2 years later? B, a man named Paul Gordon who dug a hole out of Rahway Correctional Facility in New Jersey by scratching at a brick with a needle every day for 38 years.
That's interesting.
Or C, Fred the banana slug who escaped from his cage at UC Santa Cruz by crawling the 4 feet to a window over 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Does this lady know where I live in case I get all these
wrong? I don't know. I mean, she's from Park City. You're from Park City. Park City's not very big.
You're going to run into her at Whole Foods.
She's going to skate right down here.
I'll go with A.
You're going to go with A, Lottie the tortoise?
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
That's what happened. After Lottie escaped from her new owner's home in England, she was found in a field a mile and a half away, still pointed towards freedom. All right, this is exciting. I love it when this work out. This is the finals, final heat. It's about, appropriately enough, a very slow athlete, perhaps the slowest ever. Was it Jonathan Weiss, who in 1916 broke his leg while hitting a home run and had to hop around the bases, which took him 45 minutes? B, a man named Shizo Kanakuri, who took 54 years to finish a marathon. Or C, Theodore Skolnick, a bowler so deliberate and careful, he took 8 hours to bowl a single game.
I'm going to go with A again.
You're going to go with A again?
Oh, no. So, I don't.
Whoa.
No.
They're mad. Nothing makes them mad.
They want C.
So you're going to... Some people here think it's this guy, Theodore Skolnick. Do you know Theodore Skolnick? What's it going to be?
I got to go with the crowd, otherwise, I'm going with C.
You're going to go with C? It was B. Not only was it B, Theodore Skolnick is my uncle. He's a retired grocer in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Shizo Kanakuri was an Olympic marathoner in the 1912 Olympics, and he dropped out halfway through from exhaustion, but he didn't tell anyone, so he was never recorded as not finishing. So in 1966, he went back to Sweden and finished it, giving him a final time of 54 years, 8 months, 6 days, 8 hours, 2 minutes, and 20 seconds.
Be good Rodney Dangerfield movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, Carl, how did Nick Pearson do in our quiz?
Well, Nick needed at least two correct answers to win for Elizabeth Sharp, but Nick had just one correct answer.
Says the crowd who forced him into the wrong answer. You people.
This is what I want to hear. I want to hear all of you right now say, "I'm sorry" to Nick. 1, 2, 3. Nick Pearson is a 2-time Olympic speed skater and a program coordinator at U.S. Speed Skating here in Salt Lake City, Utah. Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Skating away, skating away, skating away.
In just a minute, Carl honors the success of Jeremy Lin with a special listener Linrick challenge.
Linrick, right?
No, it's challenge. That's what
it's challenge. Oh. That's what it was. Oh. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Peter, Mitt Romney has a problem. He's having a hard time selling himself to the conservative GOP base. So last Friday at the Conservative Political Action Conference, he called himself what?
That was the term he used. Severely conservative?
Yes, he called himself severely conservative.
Critically conservative.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm dangerously conservative.
In a 10-minute speech, he used the word conservative 2 dozen times, and he even went off his prepared script to call himself severely conservative, which just does not sound like good news. It's like, Mr. and Mrs. Romney, I'm afraid your son is severely conservative.
That would be...
No. No, there's no effective treatment, but we can make his life comfortable.
That would be even worse for the Romneys, because it'd be like, but he was severely liberal just a few years ago.
I know.
What happened?
The Romney care used to cover severe conservatism.
It did. There was a copay.
But only in Massachusetts. Yeah. Not nationally.
Well, in Massachusetts, they called it wicked conservative.
That did. Wicked conservative.
Carrie.
Yes.
Carrie, this week, North Korea marked the 70th birthday of former leader Kim Jong-il, despite the fact that he died in December. Oh, according to state media reports, North Korea is still in mourning, including whom?
Well, the whole country.
I'll give you a hint. Well, you know what they say. Do they weep in the woods?
The bears are
bears,
sad.
The bears are sad.
Oh, no.
The football team?
Yes. It's a family of bears. They were, according to state media, spotted by the side of the road, weeping and lamenting the dear leader's passing.
That's actually kind of cute.
To quote North Korean media, quote, the bears, believed to be a mother and cubs, were staying on the road crying woefully. This was in addition to the flock of magpies seen swarming the dear leader's statue at the time of his death. All these woodland creatures are mourning him. He wasn't a crazed dictator. He was Snow White.
It must be fun to work for North Korean state news. Like, they probably have, like, the world's best poets there.
Right.
It's like, find some interesting way to say that we're all mourning. Like, all right, there are bears weeping at the side of the woods, and the moon is crying gold. Like, all the things they say about him are so mellifluous.
They need to work with Pixar. This stuff needs to be animated.
Well, yeah. Right.
It's amazing.
Now, North Korea is being ruled since Kim Jong-il's death by Kim Jong-un. Oh. That is Kim Jong-il's 29-year-old son, who a year ago was a slacker watching the NBA on TV.
The Korean Bob's Big Boy.
Exactly. And then he was instantly made first a 4-star general, and now he is the leader of the world's last Stalinist dictatorship. You realize what this is. This is Adam Sandler's next movie.
As a youngest sibling, I do actually. I am kind of happy for him. Because
really?
He's the youngest of three.
Yeah,
it's
and
cool.
they reached over his older two brothers, yeah, and they picked him.
Yeah.
And he has apparently no qualifications to be a Stalinist dictator.
Right.
Unlike you would be a better Stalinist dictator.
I think I probably would.
I think you'd be.
Did they explain how they knew the bears were crying specifically for that? Did they have a little sign up that was like, in case anybody's wondering, we're crying because of the dear leader's passing? Then I don't believe the story.
There you are.
You had me until there was no sign.
Do they have honey pots? And like,
I just, stirring their little honey. Do they have picnic baskets? Is that what you're saying?
Wait, do bears actually, what is the relationship between bears and honey? I forgot.
They like to eat it.
Oh.
Traditionally. I believe that's true.
It's their same relationship to fish.
Yeah.
And people.
Maybe they went and they brought, like, urns of honey to the body of Kim Jong-il.
It was like a sacrifice.
There. Yeah.
It's possible.
That's more believable than the sign.
Mo, as you know, Oprah Winfrey quit her hit daily talk show and started her own cable network, which no one is watching. She came up with a solution, though. What?
She did what apparently is verboten in TV land,
yes,
which is she tweeted asking people... with cable, with Nielsen boxes,
yes,
to watch her show, to watch her network.
Yes, basically she begged people to watch, especially
okay.
Nielsen viewers. Nielsen viewers, of course, are those people whose television viewing habits become the Nielsen ratings very important. Hey. She tweeted, everyone who can, please turn to my channel, especially if you have a Nielsen box. And then the Nielsen company complained, you're not allowed to do that. And so she had to try something else. She instead tweeted, tune into my channel and I'll recommend your book. And then, hey, you know what my favorite thing is? You watching me. And then finally she was like, tune into my channel or Stedman gets it.
Why doesn't she just run North Korea? She'd be amazing. No, seriously.
Really? Why do you say?
Visa Oprah. Oprah is amazing in the right situation. I'd love to see her give North Korea a makeover and just to fix it.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And you can check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast from the producers of Wait Wait. This week, Ian and Mike, cheer up, Adele. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Myron Linder.
Hey, Myron, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Now, Myron is a classic name, but it's not one I've come across a lot. Are you one of the few Myrons you know?
Yeah, I know maybe two others I've met.
It's a good name, Myron.
It's a great name.
Well, thank you.
It is. Have you enjoyed being a Myron?
Well, some days, and other days it's not so hot.
I understand. Well, Myron, welcome to the show. Carl Castle right now is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Fill in the last word or phrase correctly, and just two of them do that, you'll be a winner. Ready to go?
Ready.
Here is your first limerick.
I once got the essence of bean from a drip or espresso machine, but now getting wired is deeply inspired. I'll breathe in a dose of...
caffeine.
Yes, caffeine. Coffee is a big time waster. Think of all the hours you waste spent drinking and then digesting it just so your brain can get caffeine. Well, thanks to the AeroShot, a new brand of inhalable caffeine, you get the equivalent of 10 cups of coffee in one blast. In seconds, you go from asleep at your desk to banging your head on your keyboard to make the twitching stop.
Is this even legal in Utah? Sorry.
I don't know.
I thought there's a name for this. I think I'd heard of it before. It was called cocaine. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Starbucks is getting in on this. Get ready for the pumpkin spice syringicino. All right, very good. Here is your next limerick.
I don't see the point of a grade, so I will not attend, I'm afraid. There won't be much learning unless I am earning. I'll go back to school if I'm...
paid.
Yes, indeed. Cincinnati's Doane Community High School has a new way to get students to show up on time. They are paying them. Perfect attendance gets you $10 a week, $25 if you're a senior. This gets students into important classes like math, where they learn what a bad deal 25 cents an hour is. Very good. Here's your last limerick.
Must all magical monsters be hairy? And is there no reliable fairy? Old stories we hear and just cower in fear. Today's tots find Grimm's tales far too...
scary.
Yes, indeed. According to a recent survey, most parents don't read classic tales by the Brothers Grimm or Hans Christian Andersen anymore for fear of scaring their kids. And it's not just the classics. In the original Green Eggs and Ham, Sam I Am gets trichinosis. Pat the Bunny, the original version, and Stab the Bunny. Harrowing. Harrowing for children. Don't read it. Carl, how did Myron do?
Myron, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or answering machine.
Well done, Myron. Congratulations. Thank you so much for playing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Well, we have a tie for first place, Peter. Peter Gross and Mo Rocca, they both have 3 points each. Kerry O'Connor has two.
All right. Well, Kerry, you are in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when they begin your first question, fill-in-the-blank. On Monday, Republicans reacted negatively as President Obama released his 2013 blank.
Budget.
Right. The Nigerian man who tried to detonate a bomb hidden in his blank on Christmas 2009 was sentenced to life in prison on Thursday.
Underpants.
Right. While on vacation to the Caribbean this week, Supreme Court Justice Blank was robbed at Machete Point.
Breyer.
Yes, Stephen Breyer. According to a CBS New York Times poll, on Thursday, Blank's approval rating went up to over 50%.
President Obama.
Right. Michigan residents are complaining about a new street sign that sets a speed limit of 25 miles an hour between Blank and Blank.
between two cities?
No. It's 25 miles per hour between the hours of 6:49 and 7:15 a.m., 7:52 and 8:22 a.m., 8:37 and 9:07 a.m., 2:03 and 2:33 p.m., 3:04 and 3:34 p.m., and 3:59 and 4:29 p.m.
I should have gotten that.
You should have.
You had to get all the numbers
you
right.
Did. While all international editions of Time magazine featured a cover story on the collapse of the European economy this week, the U.S. cover featured a story on blank.
Animal friendships.
Yes. After testing, the FDA announced that at least 400 shades of lipstick contain traces of blank.
Lead.
Yes. Parents who feel guilty when they take their babies to coffee shops can now give their kids blanks.
Little baby coffees.
Yes. They're called baby chinos.
Ew.
Just because your kid's an infant doesn't mean he can't start wasting money in overpriced espresso drinks. Baby chinos with lots of froth and milk and a little chocolate or honey are the biggest thing in Brooklyn in the parent-raising districts. This has led to widespread reports of a kid's first word being, "I ordered a skinny half-calf with soy, damn it."
But if a mother breastfeeds, can't she just drink a whole lot of coffee and then it will come out?
Apparently, I'm told, actually, yeah. Quite seriously, that if you breastfeed, you can... Yeah.
These kids should be sniffing their coffee. Come on.
Yeah.
It's 2012.
Carl, how did Kiri do in our quiz?
Kiri had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. She now has 16 points, and Kiri has the lead.
All right. Well done. It's going to be hard to beat. Let's see if they can do it. All right, we flipped a coin, and Peter's elected to go third, so Mo, you're up now. Fill in the blank. A private funeral was held Saturday in New Jersey for singer blank.
Whitney Houston.
Yes. House and Senate negotiators reached a deal this week to extend the blank until the end of the year.
The payroll tax.
Right. Payroll tax cuts, yes. This week it was announced that internet giant blank is planning to take over Motorola Mobility Holdings, the cell phone business.
I think Google.
Yes. A man on the run from police was caught when his car ran out of gas in Wyoming, and he blanked.
Oh, gosh. He, oh, I mean, I don't understand. I don't, he did, no, he tried to, I just feel so defeated already. They tried to catch him in Oklahoma. His car ran out of gas, and so then he went to a cop asking for help.
Yes, that's exactly what he did. He went to
a
cop for help.
Yeah, I knew that.
A four-year-old Pekingese named Malachi was named Best in Show at this year's blank.
Westminster Dog Show.
Right, with 6 awards, singer Adele was the big winner at this year's blanks.
Grammys.
Right, moments after being rescued from a stuck elevator, a Chicago man blanked.
Got stuck in the elevator again, walked into a different elevator.
Exactly right, that's what happened. He got stuck in another elevator. He spent 3 hours stuck between the 21st and 22nd floor, and then he was relieved when firefighters got him out. And when he was presented with the option of taking another elevator downstairs or going down the 21 flights, he probably said, "What are the odds of it happening again?" Luckily, he had plenty of time to calculate those odds during the 2 hours he was trapped in the second elevator.
Oh, my gosh.
Carl, how did Mo do?
Mo had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. She now has 17 points, and Mo has taken the lead.
This is very unusual.
All right, then. How many, then, does Peter need to win?
7 to tie, 8 to win outright.
All right. Ready, Peter?
Here
we
go. Yes.
Here we go. Fill in the blank. And as Israel called for additional sanctions, on Thursday, blank offered to resume talks over its nuclear program.
Iran.
Right. On Thursday, Democratic Congresswoman walked out of a hearing that featured an all-male panel testifying about President Obama's new blank rules.
Contraception.
Right. In the wake of new raids and arrests, on Thursday, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon accused the government in blank of crimes against humanity.
Syria.
Right. Previously unknown model Kate Upton was revealed this week as the cover model for this year's blank.
Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Yes. A man in Nevada is recovering after suffering a heart attack last Saturday while blanking.
Trying to save someone else from a heart attack.
No, he had a heart attack while eating a triple bypass burger at the Heart Attack Grill.
Right.
Oh, right.
He's fine, though. LeBron James raised some eyebrows this week with a statement that he wouldn't rule out returning to blank.
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right. A cartoon version of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange will make an appearance this weekend on the 500th episode of the TV show blank.
The Simpsons.
Right. A company in Brooklyn offered lovebirds, quote, a unique date they'll never forget, a tour of blank.
The cemetery.
No, better.
Morgue.
Loving couples can get a tour of a sewage treatment plant for Valentine's Day. Everybody gets chocolates on Valentine's Day. That's old, but now you have the option of getting them before or after digestion. We assume the lines were long at the Brooklyn Sewage Treatment Plant on Tuesday, as thrilled young ladies and their dates got to see human waste in action and then get matching tetanus shots. Carl, did Peter do well enough to win?
Peter needed at least 7 correct answers to tie, but Peter had just 6 correct answers.
Oh, so close.
With 17 points, Mo Rocca is this week's
champion. Whoa, Mo, well done.
That's a long time. That's
Mo Rocca. Impressive. Done like a champion. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict who will be the next headline-friendly sports phenomenon. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world on the web at hewlett.org. And Pimsleur Language Programs, whose Unlimited series offers the potential to play Bluff the Listener in a foreign language at Barnes & Noble booksellers. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Jessica McLeod. Our lintern is Kate Casey. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks this week to the crew of the beautiful Abravanel Hall. BJ Lindemann composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Ian Chillog. Our executive producer is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, who will be the next sports star to inspire ridiculous headlines? Peter Gross.
Major League Baseball will be dominated this season by All-American rookie phenom Johnny Applepie Chevrolet McHotdog.
Kerry O'Connor.
I don't know who she'll be, but she'll be plucky and smart and part of some naturally enthusiastic community and then be counted out and shunned. And she'll overcome fantastic odds and transform into a media darling owing to her short, headline-friendly name that rhymes with a lot of stuff.
Fair enough. And Mo Rocca.
The first ever 3-person synchronized swimming team, Nick, Kevin, and Joe Jonas.
Well, if any of those people emerge, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carol Castle. Thanks also to Peter Gross, Kerry O'Connor, and Mo Rocca. Thanks to everyone at KCPW. Thanks to our fabulous audience here at Abravanel Hall in Salt Lake City. You're great. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.